week of the imminent rapture taking place, as in yesterday. Did you miss it? Or either that, we either missed it or it didn't take place. Amen. A pastor bought a parrot. Now, you know, parrots can be very noisy. And this lovely parrot had a very bad mouth. And it would swear every 5 minutes. And the man became extremely embarrassed because every time his congregation would come around, this parrot would swear at them. And he tried to get this parrot to clean up its act, but it wouldn't listen. So he eventually throttled this parrot and said, "If you don't stop, I'll throttle the life out of you." And instead of quitting, the parrot actually swore even worse. So then eventually he locked him in the kitchen cabinet. That didn't help. It just got worse. So eventually this embarrassed pastor decided to put him in the deep freeze. So after a few minutes, it became very quiet. And then the pastor began to worry. Perhaps this parrot had actually died or something, you know. This wasn't the right thing to do, to put the parrot in the deep freeze. So he opened the deep freeze and the parrot climbed out and climbed up his arm. And he just was a completely different parrot. He was suddenly just very quiet. And he said, "You know what? I promise you, I will never, ever swear again. Just never put me in the freezer again. But I just have one question. What did the chicken do?" Well, I guess that parrot got what it deserved. But very often in life, we get the cold shoulder quite undeservedly. And we see such an incident in Acts chapter 24. And we find that the apostle Paul is standing in front of the governor Felix. And Felix himself had actually inherited his seat from his very influential brother, and also three very political marriages. And one happened to be the granddaughter of Anthony and Cleopatra. So this man, Felix, he wasn't exactly a very good man, like the parrot. He was depraved, and he was ruthless. And he kept Paul in prison for 2 years, waiting for a bribe. Now, I'm sure that many of us in this country can actually identify with that, because you don't seem to get anything done these days without a bribe. And that's exactly why Paul was kept in prison for 2 years. He was waiting for a bribe. But now Felix's wife, Drusilla, she was a Jewess. And they called Paul to stand before them, I think more or less hoping for this bribe to materialize. And instead, Paul gave them the word, which they didn't like. Not at all. They didn't like it. And they sent Paul away. But without knowing it, they'd made the most tragic decision of their lives. You see, Drusilla had an immoral past herself. But her father had been Herod Agrippa, and he beheaded James the Apostle. Her great uncle had beheaded John the Baptist. And her great grandfather, Herod the Great, had killed all the babies in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, hoping to destroy Jesus. Well, what happened was on the 24th of August, 79 AD, the volcano at Mount Vesuvius in Italy erupted in the city of Pompeii. And that's where Drusilla met her death, along with her stepson, Marco, who was Felix's son. And you see, they all worshipped false gods, the false gods of Rome. Zeus, Mercury, Jupiter. But this sudden eruption, when they were there, everybody died. Everybody in the entire town died. But you know, there had been warnings. Because weeks prior to this volcano actually erupting, there'd been rumblings. There'd been huge plumes of smoke. And yet nobody took any notice of it. In fact, they'd been warned, they'd been told, this does not look good. But instead of fleeing the city, they just looked at the impending danger and stayed where they were. And everybody died. We are living in a similar situation right now. There are rumblings in the world. There's rumblings all around us. Warfare, earthquakes, nuclear threats, economic woes. We know what's happening in North Korea. We've seen what's happened in Mexico in the last week. There's been earthquakes all over the place. Floods. We ourselves are faced with drought. But it's not exactly new. These things have been, we've been seeing these things for many years. But suddenly it seems to be far more intense than what it has been in the past. People need not be caught unprepared. Just as those people at the time of that eruption of Mount Vesuvius, none of us need to be caught unprepared. God has warned us. He's warning us. He's constantly warning us. But people are not paying attention. Because for 2,000 years, it has been said, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The rapture's about to take place. You need to be ready. Last week, Pastor Keith preached on the virgins. How much oil do you have in your lamp? Are you ready? In Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 to 34, immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, and he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. Now, learn the lesson from the fig tree. As soon as you see the twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. Now, the fig tree in the scripture represents Israel. When we look at prophecy, we always turn our eyes to Israel. Not America, to Israel. And in Ezekiel, we see that Ezekiel the prophet gave a very accurate prophecy about the rebirth of this nation of Israel that would happen in the spring of 1948. He foretold that Israel will once again become a nation, because by 70 AD, Israel as a nation ceased to exist. The people of that nation were dispersed amongst all the nations of the world. And for 1900 years, Israel was not a nation. They did not speak their language. They spoke diverse languages of all the nations of the world. They were despised. They were hated. They were hunted. They were slaughtered. All because of their rejection of the Messiah. But then a miracle occurred. And we read about this in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 8. Have you ever heard such a thing? Who has ever seen such things? A country being born in a day, or a nation being brought forth in a moment? How does a nation get born in a day? That does not happen. But on the 14th of May, 1948, such a thing did happen. Because that year, that month, and that day, the nation of Israel once again was reborn as an independent and free nation. God brought them back to the promised land. And so the final hours began, leading up to the end of days. That is when the clock started ticking. And if you listen, you will hear it ticking. Notice that Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 33, when you see these things, know that it is right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away until all these things have happened. This Jesus was saying, just have a look at what's happening. Anybody that was born in 1948, he went on to say, this generation will not pass away until these things have happened. 1948. There's a lot of us that were born before 1948 and after 1948 and in 1948. But let me tell you something. The last person in this world that was born in 1948 will not have died before Jesus comes again. That means if you're 68 years old right now, Jesus is going to come in this generation. In Matthew 24, verse 7, the nations shall rise against nations and the kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. I don't even think I need to go into that. We see it happening all the time, more so in the last while than ever before. Think back at what happened at Calvary. We are told in Matthew that a great earthquake shook Calvary and it synchronized with the death of Christ. And at that very moment, Christ cried out with a loud voice and he cried, "It is finished." And he gave up his spirit. But it was at that very moment that there was discrimination in the graveyard. Because not all the tombs were opened. Some of the tombs were opened. You can read about it in Matthew chapter 27. It was most certainly the graves of those that were, of the people that were looking towards the Messiah coming, waiting expectantly for his coming, just as we, the saints, are waiting expectantly for his coming right now. The resurrection of those saints, like the first fruits of the Jewish harvest, was a pledge for the coming general resurrection of the saints. The first fruits in the Jewish harvest, those first grains, those grains that ripened prematurely, that is what we are being told here about in Exodus 23 and Leviticus 23, that the priest was told that when those first grains began to ripen, the premature harvest, the priest was to take some of the sheaves of this harvest and wave it from the right to the left in expectation of the general harvest, the great harvest that was going to take place. On the day after the first fruits was celebrated, the priest waved this wave offering from the left to the right. This happened at the time of Christ's crucifixion. In fact, the priest, the day after Jesus had already risen from the dead, the priest stood up and waved his wave offering from the right to the left. The first fruits. These resurrected saints that rose with Christ, when he cried out with a loud voice, "It is finished," this is the pre-matured, ripened harvest. We, the saints, are the general harvest. We are waiting for him to come for us. In the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, Job asks a question in chapter 14 and verse 14. If a man dies, shall he live again? And then King Solomon wrote this, almost as a reply, you might think. He wrote in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 9, "What has been will be again. There's nothing new under the sun." And I think every one of us over here will agree that Scripture is absolutely infallible, and it is true. So if Scripture is infallible, then that which has been will be again. Jesus will come down from heaven with a loud shout, a shout of command, like the voice of an archangel, with a trumpet sound. And that trumpet sound, the Greek word is salpigi. And it means a reverberation, a shaking. And we can find that in 1 Corinthians 15:52 and 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And that is the sound that will be heard just before the dead are raised from their graves and meet him in the air. Christ's voice will be a reverberating sound like a trumpet, causing the dead in Christ to rise with imperishable bodies, accompanied by a powerful shaking in the surrounding earth. Remember what I said, there was an earthquake at the time of Christ's death and at his resurrection. Consequently, we can expect an earthquake at that very time. And if you go to Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 19, we see that there is a great earthquake that has not yet come, that is prophesied about, a great earthquake. And this earthquake could very well be the one that ushers in this event. Because if you read those chapters, 38 and 39, you see prophetically what is going to happen in Israel at that time. A great earthquake will be seen. Very likely, the shockwaves will be felt all over the earth, and graves will be opened. And the resurrected saints will meet Christ in the earth. We know that there are signs everywhere of Jesus' soon return, everywhere around us. We cannot predict a date. We can watch the signs, and we can know that because of what Christ has said to us, that his return is imminent. But we cannot set a day to it, because not even Christ himself knows the day. Only Heavenly Father knows the day. But this I can tell you, he is standing at the door, waiting for the command. That is how close it is, because we are that fig tree generation. If you were born in 1948, you will see, possibly, the coming of Christ. But if you were born after 1948, it's highly unlikely that you will not see the coming of the Lord. Because we are told in Scripture, this is when the clock started ticking. in 1 Thessalonians 5:2-3, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Are you ready? How full is your lamp? We hear a mantra, peace, 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 throughout the earth. But I can tell you this, there will be peace in the earth for a very short time. But if you are here at that moment when a man stands up and writes and signs a peace treaty with Israel, you will have missed the rapture. Because that will be the Antichrist. Because the moment he signs that peace treaty within Israel, that is the moment that the tribulation begins. The rapture itself will purge the world, and the world will be plunged into unprecedented turmoil. That will only be the calm before the storm. We know that there will be he'll sign a 7-year peace treaty with Israel, but after 3.5 years, he will break that peace treaty. And if the first 3.5 years were bad, the second half of that is going to be even worse. You do not want to be here. Power over everyone. You know, we hear about chips being implanted. It's been happening in animals for a number of years. We think that it's such far distant, in the far distant future, this isn't going to happen in our lifetime. It is happening. It is happening. There's a company in America that are implanting chips in their staff in order to get into the building, to be able to access their computers and to access anything in the building and even the vending machine. It's happening. And they're making it look as if it's a marvelous thing. That is to control the nations. I'm not going to go into that. If you want to discuss it with me, we can discuss it. But the technology is there. During the 7 years of tribulation, everyone that is left behind will experience hardships that you cannot even begin to imagine. There will be disasters, famine, war, pain, suffering. So bad, in fact, that it's going to wipe out 75% of the earth's population before Christ's second coming. Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, for God prepared as a bride beautiful, dressed for her husband. That is us. We, the saints, are that bride. But Jesus also tells us how his bride needs to look for us to live in this new heaven. He tells us what these citizens should look like. Firstly, the citizens of the new heaven and new earth will never thirst again. God says that he will give us water, the water of life, and we will never thirst. Secondly, we need to be overcomers. We need to overcome those obstacles, those things that we turn around and say, oh, Lord, I cannot do this. I'm just so tempted all the time. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is so weak. We need to be overcomers. Thirdly, the fate of the people who will reject the Lord is clearly spelt out. The cowardly those who do not confess Christ, they will not enter into the new heaven and the new into the new heaven and live on the new earth. The unbelieving. Do we believe that he's coming for us? Do we believe that he is the Messiah? That he died for our sins? Because the unbelieving will not enter into heaven. The vile, those who are worldly and live worldly lives. Murderers. Now we think of somebody that plunges a knife into another person. But the word is very clear that we can murder somebody with our mouth. What are you saying about people? Sexually immoral. The impure, that sexually impure. The ones who practice magic, arts, or sorcery. Oh, well, reading my horoscope isn't that bad. It's just a little bit of fun. No biggie. Spiritism, seances. Oh, it's just a bit of fun. You know, we're just having a little fun. Astrology, witchcraft, devil worship, palm reading, fortune telling, and other forms of false beliefs. Idolaters, those who worship idols of any kind. Liars, those that mislead others. Gossipers. Any person who does not repent and turn away from these things will not enter into the heaven when Jesus comes. So where are they going to go? The word is very clear. Their place will be in a fiery lake of burning sulfur that was not created for human beings. It was created for Satan and his cohorts. God made a way for each and every single one of us. He made a way. It is up for us to choose which way we're going to go. Is it going to be into heaven or into this fiery lake of burning sulfur? John, 1 John 5, verses 10 to 12 says, "He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe in God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given to his Son. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. And he who does not have the Son does not have life." Do you have that witness today? Do you have eternal life? Do you have the assurance this morning that you will be a citizen of heaven? Are you in a loving relationship with Christ? If not, this morning, I'm asking you to make that decision. I can't emphasize enough how close the return of Christ is. I cannot give you a date, and I cannot give you a time. I told you that those born in 1948, the last one, will still be alive when Jesus comes. I cannot tell you how long a generation is, because there does not seem to be much consensus on that particular subject. But I can tell you, you can work it out for yourself. Think for yourself how long generally is a generation. And the people born in 1948 are now 68 years old. That, above all else, should tell us how close his return is. If you need to make right with Christ this morning, as I close in prayer, I pray that you will come forward. And there will be people here to pray with you. Father God, we thank and praise you today. That Lord God, you never leave us nor forsake us. You never leave us without a hope and a future. You never leave us, Lord, without knowing what is going to happen. Father, you have made it clear in your word. You told us that we need to watch, that we need to know, and to look out for these signs. And Father, I pray this morning over each and every person that is in this place today, that Lord, each person will search their heart, that they might know with absolute clarity that, Lord God, that should you return this very moment, that, Lord God, that we will be going with you. Father, I pray that you will bless your people, that, Lord God, you will encamp around your people, that, Father, you will give each person a hope and a future, and that, Lord God, that when you return for us, each person will be ready. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.